Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today we celebrate the great feast of Pentecost. Now, it's one of three great liturgical feasts that we have within our year, and it corresponds with each person of the Holy Trinity. Christmas is the feast of the Son, Jesus Christ being born into this world to save us. Easter is the feast of the Father, raising the Son to life. Pentecost is the celebration of the Holy Spirit, descending upon the apostles and bringing our church to life. Now, when you look at all three persons of the Holy Trinity, we can say that we know Jesus Christ because we listen to the Gospels every time we come to Mass. And we can say that we relatively know the Father because Jesus always speaks about the Father, how He and the Father are one. But the Holy Spirit is probably the most overlooked amongst the Holy Trinity. However, throughout this Easter season, we have seen the Holy Trinity working on display, not only giving life to our church, but also strengthening the apostles as well as our early church. And so the Feast of Pentecost is really the feast of our church. Stop and think. The same Holy Spirit that descended upon the apostles is the same Holy Spirit that is in us. We receive the first installment at baptism and then the second installment at confirmation. Now, what are some of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit? Well, when we read that first reading from Acts of the Apostles, wind is the first characteristic. We all know wind is unpredictable. We can't control it. We can't make it our own possession. Jesus says in John 3:8, Holy Spirit blows wherever it wills. So we have to turn ourselves over to the Holy Spirit. We have to say, I surrender to the power that I cannot manipulate or control. Therefore, we pray that great Holy Spirit prayer, Veni Sancte Spiritu, come Holy Spirit, in which we acknowledge, I'm not in control. Therefore, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, that divine wind of God, to direct and influence all aspects of my life. Now, where is that most clearly seen? Well, in the lives of the saints. The saints were ordinary people like us, and yet that divine wind essentially changed their lives. Look at St. Catherine Drexel, the first American-born saint. She was born in the 1850s in Philadelphia. Now, she had a great passion for ministering to the African-American and Native Americans of our country. And she took that passion, or she was compelled, to go to Rome. And she had an audience with the Pope. And she begged the Pope to send a missionary order to the United States to minister to the Native American and African Americans of our country, specifically to provide access to health care and education. The Pope said, well, you do it. You start your own order. Well, she had a religious awakening at that time. The Holy Spirit deeply touched, her soul. It was said that when she left the Pope from that meeting, she wept and wept. Well, she knew, the power of the Holy Spirit has uprooted her. And she did exactly what the Pope told her to do. She established her own missionary order, the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament. Their mission? To minister to the Native Americans and African Americans of the United States. And she established clinics and hospitals and schools throughout the South and the southwestern parts of the United States. How about St. Francis? As a young man, Jesus spoke to him from the crucifix and said, Francis, rebuild my church. With obedience to that command, essentially, Francis surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit allowed Francis to do something he never thought, establish his own religious order, the Franciscans, And today, the Franciscans cover the world in ministering to people. Look at John Paul II. He went to Poland in the 1980s when Poland was under martial law, under an oppressive government. And he spoke in front of thousands and thousands of people. And he was speaking the power of the Word of God. Now, what was interesting, the people that were on the stage with him, sitting there, were representatives of the oppressive government in Poland. And after John Paul II spoke, he spoke that powerful Word of God. Essentially, the people started chanting, "We want God. We want God." And they chanted that for like 20 to 30 minutes. And the Pope was encouraging them. Now, it was so amazing. Essentially, the Pope John Paul essentially unleashed the power of the Holy Spirit upon the people. And they felt that. That's why they kept chanting and chanting. Now, what was interesting is if you looked at those official government leaders that were sitting in their chairs on that stage, they literally started squirming in their chairs because they knew something powerful, unlike anything other in this world, was unleashed upon those people. Well, a few years later, the government of Poland toppled. And then a few years later after that, the Soviet Union toppled. Well, that was the power of the Holy Spirit unleashed. And so that divine power, you know, will make us strong in our faith also if we surrender to it. Now, another characteristic of the Holy Spirit is fire. Fire, we know, has a destructive capability to it, but it also has a cleansing capability, clearing away bad things. And so if we allow the Holy Spirit to be active in our life, then it will cleanse and burn away things like our ego, our pride, our envy, and our jealousy, so we can grow stronger in our faith. Fire also is illuminated, right? Especially at night. Well, when the Holy Spirit dwells within us, it opens up our mind so that it illuminates our mind, so we come to know who Jesus truly is, and then are able to live out our faith in Him. That's what Paul is talking about in the second reading from 1 Corinthians 12. He says, "No one can call Jesus Christ the Lord except through the power of the Holy Spirit." Well, essentially, the Holy Spirit illuminates our mind to come to know who we are in relationship to God. Now, in that first reading, it said the apostles had tongues of fire hovering over them. Well, two things. First of all, it tells us that we have to be able to, you know, speak our faith. Well, that doesn't mean that we have to be on a street corner preaching or reading the Bible. No. You know, we all know that simple phrase, actions speak louder than words. By living out our faith, by living out a virtuous life, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, the Ten Commandments, that's the best way in which we tell the whole world who truly is the Lord of our life. Now, take it a step further. These apostles, they're out in the streets of Jerusalem preaching a faith. Now, this faith is an outlawed religion in the state of Rome, and it would be for 300 years before Constantinople approved of it. And so when you stop and think about that, you know, these apostles, they are preaching in a bold manner. And so they are risking their lives. If someone finds out about this, they could easily be thrown in jail and even executed. But they don't care. So bold speech is another characteristic of the Holy Spirit. Being able to explain and sometimes even defend our faith. Now that can be hard, especially in our country, because for centuries on end, our culture here has wanted to privatize religion. You know, and that goes back to our founding fathers. If you look at the writings of Thomas Jefferson, he always advocated privatizing religion. Tolerate faith, yes, but keep it to yourself. That's not a characteristic of the Holy Spirit. A good question we have to ask ourselves, you know, if somebody asks us, you know, about our beliefs, and for example, the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, our belief in the sanctity of life from conception to natural death, can we give a convincing answer to their question? Can we actually defend what we believe? We can't. Through lifelong faith formation. You know, always be learning about your faith, all aspects of your faith. See, as long as you keep learning about your faith, then you can speak about it with a great deal of confidence. Now turn to that gospel. A few verses down from what we heard today, Jesus will say, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you the Holy Spirit, who will be with you always." The greatest characteristic of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us is our love for God. Turning ourselves over to God. Give God the very best of what you have, the best of you, the best of your time as well as your attention, the best of your heart and your mind, your will and your intellect. See, when you do that, then the Holy Spirit will direct and influence all aspects of your life. He will influence your actions, your words, and even your thoughts. One last thing. Today, yes, is Pentecost, and it is the birthday of our church. The Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles, and now the apostles were equipped to begin the ministry and the work of our church. Now, Paul talks about, in that second reading, the Holy Spirit has given us gifts. Well, everyone who is baptized has received at least one gift of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the reasons why I say baptism is not an empty ritual. And so we have all been given gifts, but we use them not for our own benefit, but as Paul says in the second reading, for the edification, for the building up of our church. So what are your gifts? Maybe you have the gift of music. Well, good, join the choir. Or maybe you're a people person. You just simply love to chat with people. Good. Go to nursing homes and hospitals and visit the sick. Or maybe you like teaching. Good. That's your gift. Now become a catechist in your faith formation program. See, when we share the gifts of the Holy Spirit for strengthening our church, then yes, the Holy Spirit is truly alive and active in us, now and always. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.